Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our final chapter of Bauer Barbecue 2018. And while I did not get them all recorded before Bauer Barbecue Week, I'm at least getting them all done before the end of Bauer Barbecue Week. Now, this fanfic is a little different. Up to now, I have been doing episodes of the television show for Bauer Barbecue with themes. However, what this is tonight is a fictional interview with the head writer of Guiding Light. Now, Soap Opera Magazine, which I'm saying that it's from the July 2018 issue of Soap Opera Magazine, has long ago ceased production. And, of course, since Guiding Light ended in 2009, there isn't a current head writer. However, sadly, I can't do nothing but write Guiding Light scripts unless anyone wants to pay me to do that. Anyone? I didn't think so. So I created this article to cover some of what would have happened during the rest of 2018 and into 2019. I wanted to actually write in 2020 with the pandemic and everything, but I didn't really get that done in 2020. I really have to let it go. I don't think it would really work to write that now. Sadly, I am still working on 2019, and I hope to maybe have that done before it's time for the next Bauer Barbecue, which no matter what will be Bauer Barbecue 2023. There will be a jump there. And I think that I am pausing because I'm trying to decide if I could actually move some of the three. Not sure. All right, I'll come back to that. So I have this head writer thing, and it's in a question and answer format, which I don't overly love interviews that are written that way, but I think it worked best for this interview. Guiding Light head writer interview, July 2018, Soap Opera Magazine. Question. So you've been the head writer of Guiding Light for just over a year now. Do you feel about where Springfield is today? I'm feeling that Springfield is in really good shape. I've been having viewers writing me online, in person, tell me that Springfield feels like home again, and that's been one of my major goals. Question, have you had any specific overall goals? Probably the largest problem that I've been facing is that there has been a big gap in ages. Frankly, it isn't a problem just on Guiding Light, but soap operas in general have gotten into this trouble. They've been pretending that generations don't exist. All of them have been written like there are babies, kids for a short while, teenagers, maybe one or two young 20s, and then everyone else except maybe one person is the same generation. That's no way to create a community. Doing that cuts out so many story possibilities. It also hurts family relationships, and honestly, one of the things viewers want from soaps, even those who have their own close families, is a close connected family and community, and that means they want generations. Soaps used to excel at that, but they've lost their way. I've been working on clearing the decks, but I hope our upcoming stories this next year will bring in some characters, long and short term, that will fill in that age gap so we don't have to pretend people who've been on the show for decades would be dating comparative children. Question, you've been bringing back classic characters from different eras. You've had a couple of big returns at the barbecue. Answer, yes, from a name perspective, our big get was James Earl Jones. Jim Frazier sadly wasn't that a long-term of character, but he was played by both James Earl Jones, Billy Dee Williams. I think that he was played with that much talent says a lot about the power and influence of the character. Sadly, I don't think we get either one for much of a run, but Mr. Jones said he was very appreciative of dealing with the Korean War trauma in the script. We just had him for 2 episodes, but we're hoping to have him come back for another couple of episodes later this year. I think if we can work with him on time and he likes the script, he'll be back. I mean, someone of that authority. You have to give them something with meat on it to tempt them to come. Question. But I'd say from a character perspective, you had a couple of returns that might have more everyday impact. Answer. I agree. Mr. Jones is Christmas, but we've got a couple of people returning who will impact the show more from day to day. The one I'm most excited about is Hope Bauer. I really don't understand why they never brought Hope back before. I understand it was a power play to get rid of her in the first place, but it's a key role. How do you bring back Ellen Michael for years on multiple occasions and then never bring Hope back even for a short run? She's got all these family connections that remain unexplored, decades worth of what she was doing. Is she sober now? And all sorts of stuff to play with. We've also brought back Elaine. I think that's very important for Frank. Once Elaine left the canvas, they just never really found another foothold for Frank other than basic cop, Buzz's son, and Manny's friend. The character was so much more multi-dimensional than that, and Elaine was what brought that out the most. So if Frank's going to be a very viable character, we need to deal with Elaine since she was just sort of dropped. It never felt like their story got a real end. Is that what we're going to see now, or will this be the start of a new story? We'll just have to wait and see. I also think Elaine's return is timely because Elaine was an illegal alien. It really wasn't on anybody's radar back then, other than an excuse for a green card marriage. And Elaine was the one who found the most connection in Springfield. She's going to be an excellent person for helping us explore a topic that's so front and center today. Question, will we be seeing more favorites return? Answer, I really love how Days has been bringing back favorites for arcs rather than trying to keep as large a cast all the time. I'm trying that model, so you can expect to see other people and new characters with the familial connection to people that once lived in town, but they might be brought in and out as needed. Let's face it, to keep a character, you need a certain amount of money, airtime, and storyline, and even if you had endless money, the time and story limits how many people we can have on at once. But there is a gap. Someone you know can fill it, as opposed to bringing on a complete stranger. I want it to be said that Springfield really felt like Springfield during my time here. Question. We've been having some questions from the readers about your Manny story. It seemed like you started the vasectomy story and just dropped it. What happened there? Answer. Well, it started out I was going to do a quick little problem with the Bauer barbecue storyline for them. I like to do that because you're hosting a big event. There's always tension, and that brings up stuff. I figured Danny would last a day and then cave at the end of the day. But when I really started to write it, there was more depth there. This touches on religion and all of the foundation stones Danny was raised with. That's really the only one left, so it's a big deal to move against it. So there's that. And then there's a lot of old think that this was a mark against his virility, and that attacks how Danny thinks of himself as a person. There's more there than I thought there'd be, but I already had story lineup for this fall, so we sort of hit pause on this story, but we'll get back to it. Question. It seems like something went off the rails with Ed and Holly, too. Any hints there? Answer. Ed and Holly have been one of our most stable couples, dropping in and out of the story for years. But they've just been traveling parallel. They've never remarried. But let's face it, our legal system is set up to work best for married people. Legal rights, inheritance, power of attorney, etc. So as they are getting older, that reality starts to come into clearer focus. there are legal reasons to get married and legal reasons to not get married as you get older. Ed is taking getting married as an obvious move and has taken it for granted that Holly will just marry him because he's asked. So on one side, we have the fact that Holly really only wants marriage if it's a romance. She's not interested in doing the sane, rational thing. Holly's never been interested in the sane, rational thing. She doesn't want marriage like a business deal. However, if Ed gives her romance, how will she react when she gets it? And if they look at the cold business analysis, is getting married, where will the money and legal rights of it land? Question. You mentioned illegal immigration so far. Are you doing any other storylines based on current events? Answer. Yes, and this fits very well with what I was saying about using people with a connection. The story of the sexual abuse scandal with the University of Michigan and the USA Gymnastics is one that really isn't completely being told. You have to really dig to find out what Larry Nassar did and how he got away with it. It wasn't just that he intimidated them into silence. His victims came forward and were not believed. How did that happen? We happen to have a top gymnast who was going for the Olympics on the Bauer family tree, cousin Lacey Bauer. Look for her at the Bauer barbecue Ellen Michael parachuted into. Now, Lacey really wasn't an impactful character. She probably impacted Cameron the most, and most fan responses to that are probably, Cameron who? So it isn't that she had a big connection here, but she was established as a top gymnast. Since we've seen her, she got close to her dream and failed. She saw her daughter as her second chance at gold, so that impacted her experience with it. Things happened to her daughter. How did that happen? The culture that allowed it has been thrown into stark relief if people look, but the same attitudes can play out against other sports and even some arts. We're going to really dig into that. I'm also going to do a three-part Me Too story. There is a long tradition of being hard for targets of this kind of behavior or even assault to be believed, but every story can't be true just because of human nature. So we're going to be doing one story where it's crystal clear that something happened, and it's going to be very hard for the victim to be believed and prove it. There's also going to be a story where someone is going to make a false accusation for stories of their own, or for reasons of their own. But what I'm most excited about is the third storyline that I've always been sorriest they dropped. Was when Ben Harris on As the World Turns was arrested for basically matching a description of someone wanted based on his race. From how it was originally presented, we didn't know if the cop was deliberately targeting him and assaulting him because Ben was black or if he was legitimately following the lead. However, instead of playing it out, they blinked and instead turned Tague into an evil, despicable person who eventually kidnapped and almost killed Jack and Carly. Real life is almost always grayer than that. In the last couple of years, there was an article in Indian Country about a Native student who got into conflict with a Jewish professor who had family members lost in the Holocaust over what constituted a genocide. You could just hear both sides of the article reading about it. And they both 100% believed they were right and had facts on their side. Each believed they were not only right, but righteous. That's the kind of situation I want to set up, where each side quite reasonably has their own interpretation that there isn't malice in either one. Which one really has the right of it? Can they both be right? We're going to really explore that, too. Question. So far, your tenure has been very successful. Ratings are up in all demographics. Are you feeling confident about what comes next? Answer. There are T-shirt fans designed you can get online that say, I want to live in Springfield. I think people do. Soap operas, especially the former Procter & Gamble soaps, create a home. These people are your family, and when you get home, you want to feel your home. I hope everyone who watches feels like they're home again. And that's the end of the interview and the end of Bauer Barbecue 2018. Now, sadly, I am not going to be able to write any of those stories I just described, but I think they would be great ideas for stories, and I think it's describing a guiding light that I would truly love to see. I think there's some really important problems, both with what was going on with the show in its final years, what's going on with soap operas today, and some ideas for really in-depth storylines that are the feel. And the feel is always easier to get people to do than to think. But I hope that that you've enjoyed Bauer Barbecue 2018. I hope that you're sorry that we're not going to get any of those stories, although it will give you an idea about what was jumped to get to Bauer Barbecue 2019. I hope you've enjoyed it, and watch for more future episodes. And remember that that it's time to quick turn on the light, guiding light.